good to be here. Okay, well, I'm the only one that's excited about being here, but that's all right. Because God has been good to me, and I am grateful. If you've been with us as we are in this series on the rhythms of grace, learning how to, rhythms of gratitude, learning how to live lives of gratitude, understanding how good God has been with us, then you know that we are in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is where our message for the morning is coming from, Philippians chapter 1. And on today, we're going to focus on verses 12 through 18. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. The Apostle Paul writes, if you have your Bible or your Bible app open, he writes to the church of Philippi, those saints who are following God, saints just as you and I, and he writes to them this letter of joy. I know on the outset you might not understand that because some of you know that the Apostle Paul is in prison. He's in prison. He is chained to Praetorian guards, and yet he's writing to the saints this letter of joy. And in it, I believe his testimony today will help us. It'll help us to be able to live out the destiny and purpose God has for us by defeating discouragement that oftentimes try to surround us. Look with me at his writing. Verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, him being in prison, chained to guards. Look what he says. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Amen. Father, as we engage your word, we ask that you would prepare our hearts, that our hearts might be receptive soil for the seed of your word, that it might be planted deep within, that by your Spirit's guidance and infilling of our lives, we'll be able to defeat discouragement and truly live out the destiny that you have prescribed and purposed for each and every one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody have a $10 bill? Anybody still carry cash? Anybody, you have a $10 bill? You have $10, take out $10. I'm checking how many $10 I have in the audience to know at least a minimum what we should have in the offering. I'm just checking. $10 bill is an interesting bill, interesting note, because on the note there's an image of Alexander Hamilton. You would note that Alexander Hamilton was born, but at a young age, his father abandoned his mother. And his mother died when he was still a child. He was an orphan at a young age, but was taken in by a businessman who chose to invest in his life. And though he is not a president who served in the United States, Alexander Hamilton is on the $10 bill because though he was born in challenging circumstances, grew up as a child under challenging circumstances, he didn't allow those circumstances to derail him from his destiny. For those of you who are still in U.S. history, you know that Alexander Hamilton is listed as one of the founding fathers. The two on the U.S. currency, only two on the U.S. currency are listed as founding fathers. That's Alexander Hamilton and who? All right, here we go. I'm taking who knows their history for a moment. Ben Franklin. That's right. George Washington was our first. There you go. You with me now. Born, grew up as an orphan, and yet he wouldn't allow the obstacles of his upbringing to change him from fulfilling his destiny. Simon Bolivar, you might know him. He also was born and grew up. And Pastor George, he's well known not because his father died when he was at a young age, or his mother died when he was at a young age. And as an orphan child, he was fostered by an enslaved woman called Halita. Her name was Halita. She was an enslaved woman. And Simon wrote of her, and he said, "From her, my life was nourished by her milk, and she's the only father I ever knew." He didn't allow his challenging circumstances to cause him to derail his destiny, for God used him to liberate Venezuela from the tyranny of Spain. What am I trying to get us to understand, brothers and sisters, that no matter what our circumstances are in life, no matter how challenging the obstacles that come, because it does happen in life, you will have trouble. You don't believe me. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. Anybody in here ever had trouble before? Anybody ever been derailed, trying to do what's right, and something happens in your life, seems to turn your world upside down? All of a sudden, you don't know it, but one thing you must know is that when you follow Jesus, get this, when God is in your life and the guide of your life, when Jesus is on the journey with you, everywhere you go, you still can have joy. Because Jesus will help you fulfill your destiny. No, despite the circumstances, they were not discouraged, but they lived out their destinies to accomplish great things. That famed writer Mark Twain, who once wrote, "The two most important dates of your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." Oftentimes, the tragedy that so many of us will live lives never really discovering why God put us here or the purpose he has for our lives. Because you know what happens in life is that things will happen without your permission. Problems will come without requesting any permission from you. Challenges will happen, and if we're not careful, we'll allow those challenges, those obstacles, to serve as a discouragement in our lives. I'm in the setting of the text. For in the text, you have the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is writing this letter of joy to the saints in Philippi, and he's writing this letter while he's imprisoned. Hold on, he's writing this letter while he's in prison, chained to two guards. He is writing encouragement even though he's in a bad situation. That tells us that you can be in a good disposition even though the position you're in is not always good. That's really where we are in the text. For through his writing, we're able to determine that when God is in your life, you can have the assurance that he's on the journey with you. And God never makes a mistake. Go and help me preach this morning. Just turn to somebody and just tell them, "You're not a mistake." I know you're not a mistake. If they didn't tell you, they just made a mistake. But they're not a mistake. You're not a mistake because God allowed you to live. God created you. And if God created you, he created you with a purpose, with a plan. He created you because he has a plan in store for you, that it doesn't matter where you come from or how you started life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, he'll show you the destiny and purpose he has for your life. Preach, Avery, I'm already doing it. I hope they hear it. For in Ephesians, he says, "For we are the workmanship." We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. And so in an effort to squelch any reports that his circumstances were diminishing his ministry, that his circumstances were now discouraging him from the work, Paul puts his passion to pen, and he begins to write with conviction, where he tells them in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters. So that's something I want you to know. I want you to know that what has happened to me is really a good thing. It's really to advance the gospel. If Paul rolled with me back in the day, he'd just say it this way. I want you to know that whatever's happening to me, it's all good. Now, if you're rolling with the generation before me, like maybe Cass generation, they want you to know, they'd say, oh, it's all gravy, baby. It's all good where I am. Why? Because there's something he knows. And that is when you are walking with God, when you are a child of God, you know that everything that happens in your life has to be a part of the plan of God. Man, I'm preaching better than you getting it, but because you know what happens in our lives is that sometimes we get so caught up that we in the details of circumstances that we fail to really see the destiny that God has for us. Paul says here, no matter what you hear, believers, about how bad my situation may be, get this, there's some good that's coming out of what I'm going through. That's really what he's saying. And to some of us right now, I want to teach you how to defeat discouragement, because it's going to come. I mean, discouragement is a cruel, disheartening, discontenting, disturbing device of the devil that he wants to use to kill, steal, and destroy your dreams, your hope, what God has for you and your very life. But you can defeat it when you understand and have God as your life. Yeah. Come on here, let me talk for a moment. Because if you're going through discouragement right now, let me give you three keys to defeat discouragement. Here it is. First, don't nurse it. Don't nurse discouragement. I get it. I know we have nurses here in the congregation, and they will tell you that in nursing someone, there's often skin-to-skin contact where you're caring for a patient while they are hurting and hope to help them heal. However, when we nurse discouragement, what we're doing is we're trying to keep it alive on the inside of us. We're trying to hold on to it. And so we're nursing it, keeping it breathing, though Jesus wants us to sacrifice it and crucify it. We have a tendency to care for it. So if you're going to defeat discouragement, don't nurse it. Paul is not speaking of his misery in this text. He's not speaking of all the awful things that may be happening in prison. No, he says, what's happening to me is part of God's plan. So when we're going through life, let me help you. Don't the way you defeat it is by not nursing it, but also particularly the choir reminded me of this. Don't rehearse it. You know what happens in discouragement, how in our minds we replay what it is that came against us. You don't have to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth for you. I know how it is because I have my own battles with discouragement where in my mind I'm replaying why I'm not worthy, replaying why I shouldn't be doing what God has called me to do. Why is it that I'm where I am? Hear me, brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul in his writing to Philippi, he's not telling them what went wrong. He's telling them that where he is, where he's positioned, this moment in his life is what is right. Come here for a moment. I know you're not what you used to be, but you thank God that you are what you are, right? Because right now in your life is where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be in the sanctuary. You're supposed to be sitting where you are sitting. You're supposed to be in this season of life because as long as you know God is your guide, then God has you exactly where God wants you and where God wants to use you. Does it sound like I'm fussing? I'm not trying to. It's just hard for me to do it sitting down like this here. But you don't rehearse it. And thirdly, if you're going to defeat discouragement, don't disperse it. I hope you caught that. That you don't nurse it, you don't rehearse it, and you don't disperse it. You don't repeat it. You don't tell everybody about your discouragement so they can be discouraged too. Don't look at nobody right now. Just look at me because misery loves company. And you know how it happens. We want to tell everybody the sad, sob news of what happened to us 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what happened to us 15 years ago. I can't believe that happened to me. Guess what? If it happened to you, it's in the past. So stop trying to bring it in the present and look in your present and see how God has been good to you. I'm in a text, y'all, because Apostle Paul is fully present. I mean, life challenges happens to the best of us. But when we are guided by grace, we are able to see good opportunities in not so good circumstances. See, Paul's resilient optimism is present even in his problematic circumstances. And this is not a philosophical detachment of what is real and what isn't real. No, he knows the situation he's in. He knows the uncertainty of his present predicament, being in a Roman jail, chained to two guards, the Praetorian guards. But notice something here, that what the Apostle Paul has is a fundamental expectation in the providence, the plan, and the purpose of God. What does that mean? That means he has more confidence in God's ability to use him where he is, how he is, than he has in anybody else's expectation or dictation over his life. That's where he's at. He is at a place now. And we too could have the same heavenly analysis for Christian endurance when we align ourselves to see our settings, see where we are through the lenses of good news and how God has been good to us. Go and help me preach for a moment. Just tell your neighbor one thing God did for you today. Go ahead, tell him. Tell him one good thing God did for you today. You're not talking. I'm trying to teach you how to talk in church. Tell him one good thing. Because, brothers and sisters, when you see the Apostle Paul, I heard somebody say, I'm breathing. Well, I heard the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Look at the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. That word, advance the gospel, to move forward, to pull forward, to push forward, is really a Roman military term in the Greek that is used for an advance team that used to go out in front of the army to clear the way so that those who are fulfilling the purpose of the king would have smooth terrain to walk on. I'm trying to teach you Bible for a moment here. The reality is what Paul is saying is that what God has done is God has placed him on God's advancement team. That he went forward to clear the way so that God, the King of Kings' agenda, might smoothly go forward. What does that mean? That if God had him chained to the imperial guard, if God had him chained up in prison for the gospel, Paul says, then God must have put me here to help other folk know just how good he is. Come here. I get it. Because sometimes when we get the diagnosis, when we go into the hospital, when we have the trouble, we ask God, why am I here? Why am I going through this? Why is it that I'm hurting right now? Why is it that I got to go through this? Maybe it's because God has you on assignment because he wants somebody to make it smooth in the lobby. He wants somebody to make it smooth in the workplace. He wants somebody to make it smooth so that when you look at your life, you realize that God has a purpose for where he's placed you, even in your today. But it calls for us, brothers and sisters, to refocus how we view our experience, refocus how we view our circumstances. God has uniquely wired me. When he created me, he uniquely wired me. And my wife's probably shaking her head up and down right now because she's like, yeah, y'all have no idea just how much the Lord has uniquely wired him. They're all looking at you now, baby. It's okay. Because my unique wiring, it requires me to go to the optometrist quite frequently, and ophthalmologist more frequently than I would like to. But I noticed something. They always tend to tell me the same thing. When they're checking out my eyes, they always tend to tell me the same thing. I don't know if this happens to you, but this is how it happens to me. They put this machine that looked like big old binoculars with a whole bunch of lenses on it. And they say something like, now tell me, which is clear, number one? Or number two. Anybody ever had that experience before? Number one or number two. And there are times when, honestly, y'all, I can't determine. Because one looked like two. and two look like one. But because my optometrist knows me personally and he knows me very well, I have his personal number, he has mine. He said to me, he said, Avery, I need you to blink. I said, oh, yeah, do that one more time. Let me see. Oh, yeah, number two. It's clear. Come here, brothers and sisters. Challenges happen in our lives. No, you may not be imprisoned like a physical prison like the Apostle Paul, but something happens in our lives where challenges will come and we find ourselves bound in circumstances. Let me help you understand something. Whenever you find yourself facing a challenge, you got to look at it one or two ways. Here it is, one or two ways. You got to look at it one or two ways. You got to look at it from the perspective of your circumstance as though your joy is conditioned by your circumstance, or you can blink a little bit and realize that, you know what? God is still with me. God be for me, who can be against me? I can blink and say, you know what? God is still good. This may not be good, may not feel good, may not look good, and other folk may not be talking good about me, but guess what? If I'm still here, that means God is still good. If I know my name, that means God is still good. If I'm able to look at my family one more time, I can say, God is He's still good. He refocuses the attention as he's writing to the saints, encouraging them to let them know that what God is doing has placed him in a position where he has a new audience to tell of how good God has been. You're not seeing it, are you? Every day now in prison, he is chained to a guard. Not just any old kind of guard. No, this wasn't just the police around the block. No, he's chained to the imperial guard. He's chained to those soldiers who would protect Caesar. He's chained to the elite force, men who have stature, of great stature, men who also had great influence. He's chained to them. And while chained to them, some scholars believe between 6 to 8 hours a day, they're chained, rotating. Every 8 hours, they're chained. I wonder what kind of conversation they were having. Wonder the kind of conversation that Paul was having as he was chained to them every day. I wonder if he was telling them about, you know, the latest deal that was happening with the gladiators. You know, what the leading gladiator that was going on. Or maybe the news about a Nero. Or I wonder what they were talking about. Maybe they had a football team called the Saints. I don't know. But Saints do pray for Saints. 12 o'clock. All right, here it is. I don't know what, I don't think they were talking about that because when you continue to read this letter to Philippians, in the fourth chapter, Paul then writes, oh yeah, and the entire household of Caesar sends greetings to you, because somewhere between chapter 1 and chapter 4, he told them about Jesus Christ. Yeah. Come here, brothers and sisters. Now, whenever you're in a situation, and you will have situations, challenges come both to the young and old. I can tell you right now, there are times where kids will sing like Will Smith did back in the day. Parents just don't understand. Sometimes parents can be the problem, but oftentimes, y'all don't know. It almost came out that way. But challenges come each and every day of our lives unexpectedly. But when they do come, God wants us not to succumb to the circumstances. He wants us to refocus so that we can see that if God allowed us to go through it, then he has a purpose for it. So we need to seek him to find out why it is that God has assigned us to this season in our lives. And then when you find it out, then you retell the story in a way that displays God's glory. Come here, y'all. Y'all know how we do. When stuff happens in life, first thing we want to run to was bad. Oh, let me tell you what happened in my life. Let me tell you the challenges I have in life. But we got to learn how to retell the story. I see you. Some of you see how I'm twitching here. I'm trying to hold myself to the seat because really I can't stand up very well because on Wednesday night after leaving here, after teaching Bible study, yes, we do have Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:45. Did I say that? I said it right. What time do we have Bible study? I just want to, now you can't say you didn't know. All right, here it is. And then after Bible study, I was traveling down Jones Road on my regular commute going home. It was about 9 o'clock. I'm crossing over Cypress, North Houston, and all of a sudden, a vehicle struck me going through the intersection. I didn't know what was about to happen. It happened all at once. And all of a sudden, now I'm in this accident on the side of the road. A lot of things go through your mind when you're in an accident like that. So when I managed to crawl out of the back door, and the driver of the other vehicle managed to crawl out of his door. And I looked at him and he says, "Are you all right?" I didn't feel then what I feel now, but I said, "Man, I'm good. Are you all right?" He said, "Yeah, I'm good." I said, "Man, we thank God that we get to go back to our families. Come here, I'm trying to get you on the side of the road with me for a moment here." He said, "Yeah, we ought to thank God that we get to go back to our family. But man, I'm sorry this happened." I said, "You know what, man? Maybe it happened for us to have a greater value in the families that we're going back home to. Just when he and I were talking about that thing, our wives pulled up with some of our kids. And there we looked at our wives and I said, man, God blessed us to be able to get home." He said, "Yes, God blessed us in order to be able to get back home." Hold on, tow truck driver came. Because you know they like to come when you... Total driver came and Total driver got out. He said, "You know what? God is good." I said, "Well, we about to have church right here on the side of the road. Because God is good and he's been good to us even in this situation." Come here, brothers and sisters. Whatever challenge you go through, you got to learn how to look around you and see God's hand is still with you. You got to realize that God's fingerprints is all over your life, no matter what happens in your life. And that's really what Paul is saying here. He's saying that, you know what? Some people are looking at my chains the wrong way. That some people are looking at it as though they don't understand, thinking that I'm being punished where I am. He says, but really what's happening is unbelievable because it's in defense of the gospel. Gospel, that's good news. Gospel, that's the good thing that God is doing. Gospel, that means that I want somebody to know that God loves them and God still cares. And no matter how dingy and dark his setting was, he still had enough holy sense to understand that God still cares about me. That God still watches over me. I don't think Paul is the only one. Anybody in here, you're still there, that when you retell your story and you look back, you're able to say, you know what? God still loves me and God still cares. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm done now. I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Because when you retell the story, it moves you like the Apostle Paul. What Paul says in the text, some people preach out of their love for Christ and their love for me. He said, but then there are those who are preaching to increase my chains. Kind of messed me up when I read that, when he said some preach out of selfish ambition and others preach out of true love. And then he ends the sentence this way. He said, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. Come here, brothers and sisters, that when God looks at your life and people see the hand of grace on your life, you ought to be able to rejoice and proclaim that Christ is king over your life. Lord, he's the Lord over your life. He is the rule over your life. Why? Because you know that there's something that only God was able to do in your life. I told you, I'm done. You ain't got to celebrate with me. I celebrate by myself. Because as I was traveling here this morning, the Holy Spirit caught me, and I looked up at the intersection one more time, the same intersection that I just got hit in, the same intersection that my life could have been taken in the same intersection. I'm passing that intersection this morning. I looked up and saw that I was on Jones Road and Cypress, North Houston. I said, you know what? I don't need nobody up in here to worship God with me. I can worship him all by myself because I rejoice that he is God. And saints, you got to learn how to rejoice because God has been good to you too. You got to learn how to rejoice that if nobody knows what God has done, you can tell them, had it not been for the grace of God. All the miles you got on your ride and God still keeps you. All the crazy stuff you put yourself through and God still keeps you. Oh, you acting like you ain't never did that, huh? Yeah, we got to learn how to rejoice because God has been good. We got to learn how to tell people how God has been good to us. And he loves you so much that he doesn't desire for you to go through life discouraged at circumstances or challenges. But rather, he wants to grow you, graduate you, so that everywhere you are, you remember he is too. And that you can be like David when he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I ain't ever scared because God is with me. And you can know he's with you when you accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Let me tell you what happens when you confess Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. We'll be a part of the family of God. But get this, and God will come and live inside of you. That the Spirit of God lives inside of the believer. I like that. You know why I like that? That tells me that everywhere I go, God is right there with me. And if God brings you to it, then he has the power to bring you through it. And while he's bringing you on the journey, you got to learn how to rejoice. When you wake up in the morning, learn how to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in. Why? Because God has been good.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.